And now, the Sandhills' number one morning show. Mornings with the Leader Man. Here on Talk 97.3 FM, 104.1 FM, and 990 AM WEEB. And heard and seen around the world at talk973.com.
The best part of waking up is waking up with us.
Turn on the radio.
Turn on your radio.
Hey, guys, gals, friends, and pals. It's National Radio Day today.
I love radio.
I listen to radio.
Oh, it's just the radio.
Then I should be able to listen to the radio.
Think we could listen to the radio or something?
I'm the number one DJ.
What station? I listen to the radio. I must have heard it.
It's X-rated radio. Barnyard radio.
What are you listening to?
Happy National Radio Day.
Come on, it's showtime.
Good morning, Talk 97.3 FM, 104.1 FM, and 990 AM WEEB. You're listening to Mornings with the Leader Man. Sorry about that first hour. Not sure what's up with Steve. He's not feeling up to par today, so I luckily got here in time to do this second hour, and I found wandering in the parking lot, looking like lost little lambs, David Hensley and Stephen Woodward, so they have graciously decided to be... join me here in the morning in the studio so that I didn't have to do this whole half hour by myself. I don't know what I'll reward them with. Lifesaver? Because that's what you are right now?
No, thank you. I can say that when I heard the dead air, I immediately turned around to see what was wrong with Radio Free Southern Pines. I was afraid that Carol Haney and the crew had, like, you know, staged an overthrow of the... of the station.
Yeah, no, not to my knowledge. I'm not sure. Woodward, you said Steve was feeling under the weather. Unfortunately, he didn't let me know he was feeling under the weather in time for me to get here by 7:30.
Well, my source is Steve, and by the way, I guess we should sort of do this the right way, right? Welcome back to the most listened to morning show in all of the Sand Hills.
Yes.
Good morning, Steve Lederman, if you're listening.
Probably not.
I am Steve Woodward.
He doesn't
want
to listen to how I butcher his morning show, so.
And I'm Steve Woodward, along with David Hensley. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Steve.
Weather today in the Sand Hills. Right now, we're 70 degrees under partly cloudy skies on our way up to 81 degrees with diminishing humidity.
Yay!
And if I could find my dew point report, and because Steve loves him a dew point report.
What are the watts per square meter?
But our weather conditions, despite the impending climate change around us, our weather conditions this week look very promising. And so we thank you for joining us this morning.
Dew point is 63.
Okay, that's pretty good. That's not ideal, but it's trending in the right direction.
It took me a second to find it. I knew it was on this page somewhere.
We know many of you are groggy this morning, having stayed up very late to watch the Democrat National Convention in Sodom and Gomorrah by the lake, otherwise known as Chicago. And especially many of you stayed up very late to watch Joe Biden up well past his own bedtime to stammer and weep his way through his farewell speech to the adoring masses who actually were the ones responsible for throwing him out and ending his political career. So it was a night of just incredible emotion and
fakery.
And fakery. Well, that, of course. But and so, but for those of you who didn't waste your time on watching the Marxist celebration in Chicago, in the beautiful arena where Michael Jordan once did actual things worthy of applause, United Center. It's funny, they're in United Center, of all places. Is there not a division or a divisiveness center they could have gone
to? They should have renamed it while they were there.
Exactly. Yeah. But anyway, let's put aside the pressing matters of the world, and let's chisel into the local lunacy that comes to us via a doddering and teetering news publication called The Pilot, which should also be renamed, because if there was truly a pilot involved, this baby would be nosediving as we speak toward obscurity.
But, well, you know, look, the editorial staff, headed up by John Nagy, has always lied on their editorial page. But, you know, the staff reporters have always been fair. But, you know, we caught them red-handed. We caught them red-handed last week in a lie. And we've got the evidence. I mean, I've got photographic evidence of them lying about the number of people in attendance at that taxpayer-funded pro-DEI seminar that Sand Hills Community College and Larry Cadell insisted on spending our money on.
In cahoots with the Moore County Chamber of Commerce as well.
Yes.
But just to rewind that, back in June, out of the clear blue, we all learned that there would be a talent symposium coming to the Bradshaw Performing Arts Center on August the 15th at 9 in the morning. And suddenly, many people at affiliated with Sand Hills Community College became aware that the college was one of the sponsors of this event. What do you know? Fast forward to last Thursday, August 15th.
Well, one of the sponsors, let's be clear, Sand Hills Community College spent $15,000 of taxpayers' money. Sand Hills Community College didn't sponsor it. I mean, they wrote the check to bring in this Raven Solomon pro-DEI speaker.
Yes.
Of our tax money.
Well, I don't know who collaborated in paying for her speaking fee, but I will say after having heard her presentation.
Well, Sandy Stewart said
that
in
they
an email,
were hoodwinked.
Sandy Stewart in his email said that they paid for it. Sandy Stewart, being the president of Sand Hills Community College, said that him and Larry, remember him and Larry, paid for it out of using some grant.
Well, it was after seeing the presentation, I can assure you that it was about $14,999 too much. But that being said, so August 15th arrived, and many of us, out of either curiosity or because of nothing better to do, made our way over to the Owens Auditorium on the campus of Sand Hills Community College, a very fine facility, I might add, and expecting to be waiting in rather long lines to get in. But what do you know? We walked right on in. And found our seats very easily because there were a lot of seats. And one of the attendees, oh, I believe it was you, David.
Yes, yes.
Had the presence of mind to do a head count. Now, you know how you do a head count? Like the head usher at a church service will do the head count on Sunday morning so they can, you know, properly record how many souls were in the congregation. And it's easy to do in a small church. You know, you go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Yeah, you stand in the back and start at the back.
So you performed that public service for us. And what number did you come away with?
Well, let me say this. I knew that the pilot, the editorial staff of the pilot, would lie about the attendance. So not only did I count heads, but I also took a picture. So I have photographic evidence of how
yes.
many people were there. So I took a count. There were exactly 67 people in attendance. Of those 67, there were four Moore County School Board members, myself, Levy, Davis, and Pauline. There were two Sand Hills Community College Board of Trustee members, the two reformers on the board. That would be yourself and Dr. Beth Ann Pratt. And you had a special guest. Who was your special guest?
My guest was the esteemed scholar and author, Carol M. Swain, Ph.D., University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, who was in town to deliver a very sharp rebuke of the poison of diversity, equity, and inclusion, which occurred later that day in the evening at 6:30. So Carol said, I'd love to come along to see this workshop.
Yes, yes.
And it turned out to be very enlightening because she wanted to know what is it that these people are talking about when I'm not around.
So there were four school board members there. There was yourself and Dr. Beth Ann Pratt. There was Dr. Swain, and there were three reporters that I identified. So that is 10 people who weren't there for the message. They were just there for the, you know, whatever. So there were at most 57 people in that audience who actually showed up to listen to whatever Raven Solomon talked about. So how did the pilot characterize the crowd?
There were over 100 business
professionals,
business professionals,
yes,
in attendance to And just to, because we have limited time, the essence of the 3-hour workshop, which included one brief bathroom break, the essence of it was that there are multiple generations walking the planet. There are the baby boomers, of which I am one. There are the millennials, the Gen Xers, and the Gen Zers. And they have jobs and they go to work. And some of them work together in the same professions and then in the same businesses. And guess what? Because they were born at different times, they have differences. They're different. In other words, they're different ages. Really, that's interesting. They've experienced different moments along the historical timeline of the United States. That's true.
Throughout the history of man, have different generations ever had different ages, or is this a new phenomenon?
Well, it was a revelation to many in the 100-plus crowd. But anyway, including the 40 who were apparently invisible. But then we learned also that, like, some of the members of the audience were not alive when John F. Kennedy was assassinated. Really? What a shock that was.
I had no idea.
We learned that the baby boomers were obsessed with working and being loyal to their employers and showing up on time and earning an honest living to provide for their families.
And Cadell and Stewart spent $15,000 of our taxpayer money for these great revelations delivered by this wonderful DEI activist.
And yes, and we learned that subsequent generations are much more interested in a work-life balance whereby they essentially lay out the terms of their employment to their employers, and that they will decide when and where they will show up for work, how long they will work, how committed they will be to their jobs. And don't you dare ever try to call them on a weekend and ask them to do something related to their jobs, because you will implode their work-life balance and they might get upset and they might resign in a huff and then they'll sue you for doing it. So that's what we learned. And then last but not least, this was the piece de resistance. I learned that watching the Paris Olympics. The Generation Z snowflakes, ages 12 through 28, thank God only half of them are actually in the workplace. Some of them are in school being indoctrinated as we speak to become like their older Gen Zers. We have learned that they are the smartest generation ever. And you know why? Because they learn everything from their smartphones. So they are really smart because they can commit to memory and we can't. Taylor Swift's concert schedule, for example. They are very smart because at any given time, they can watch something on TikTok and take it as gospel and then share it with their friends. They're brilliant.
Well, let me say this. Luckily, that that section of Generation Z is a very small minority. You know, as you know, well, you've got a young daughter, but, you know, I've got young daughters. And, you know, the Gen Zs that my daughters hang out with are awesome and they're hardworking. They're good, you know, bounded, you know, anyway. So, look, Raven Solomons, I talked with Dr. Swain about it because she said, Dr. Swain said she was wondering how Solomon was going to land, how's she going to land the plane.
Right. After two hours and 50 minutes of gibberish.
And Dr. Swain said that what Raven Solomon did is she put all of her DEI crap in the last 20 minutes,
right,
shoved it in there at the last minute, all kinds of stereotypes, and she did it at the very end because there was no time for questions or answers or any
correct
interaction. But anyway, look, we got on this tangent by pointing out that the pilot lied.
The pilot,
when they ran that story, at the very top of the story, they said over 100 business professionals. So first of all, there weren't even 100 people in the audience. There were 67. And
guess who else was in the audience? Not seated, but very present. At least 4 security guards.
Oh, no. That's there were 6 security guards. There were 6 campus. I counted them. There were 6 campus police and security guards at Raven Solomon's thing. So at Dr. Swain's event later that evening at Sand Hills Classical Christian, where there was over 153 times more people in attendance, how many security guards and police were there?
Zero.
Right.
And so I would like to know who asked for the security at the workshops, the DEI symposium, why they were there, And in fact, didn't one of them come over and scold you for taking a photo?
Yes, she did not want me taking photos.
Yeah.
Yes, she tried to run me out, and luckily there was a reporter sitting behind me who kind of saved me, who will remain nameless. Anyway, so look, this is just a pattern of lying. I don't think that staff reporter is the one who said there were 100 plus people in attendance, because my understanding her article was pretty fair. My guess is that the editor, John Nagy, stuck that as the caption on the picture and at the top of the story to suit his narrative, but you know, that's not the only thing that Nagy's lied about this week.
That's true. When they're not outright lying, they're distorting and misrepresenting and mischaracterizing. And just on the way out the door from our previous topic, one of the Gen Z priorities that was articulated by the overpriced speaker was that they will be looking for student loan forgiveness as part of their work-life balance package. So if you own a business right now, I suggest that you hire exclusively retired baby boomers, because that way you will succeed, you will have a reliable workforce, and you will hit your profit goals. And that, you know, I know it's a crazy idea, but that is the essence of running a business. Now, that being said, the pilot moved from its falsehood mode into its deception and mischaracterization mode in a rambling Sunday editorial entitled Fear and Loathing in Moore County, which is a ripoff of the old Hunter S. Thompson Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas novel. But David, tell us what kind of hair on fire passages you found in this editorial.
Well, let's just start off with their attack on my friend Pauline Bruno. When Pauline Bruno, you know, as I think most of the people listening to the radio station know, because the people who listen to this radio station are high information people, in direct violation of a recent Supreme Court ruling where the Supreme Court shut down the Chevron deference, the Biden administration rewrote Title IX. You know, as everyone here knows, Title IX was passed to ensure equality under the law of sexes, you know, to make sure that women, well, it's generally women's sports, but it covers more than that. You know, most people know Title IX is there to ensure the equality of women in education and sports and everything related to education and non-discrimination. And
has done so effectively for a half century.
And women fought hard for that, and rightfully so,
you
know, the early, you know, women's rights march. So what the Biden administration decided to do is they decided to just say it applies to genders, you know, all the you know, the made up and,
right,
other genders. And that is right in the face of a Supreme Court ruling. So they're trying to expand Title IX to include the 67 new genders and shove it down the throats of the American people. The problem is there was a recent Supreme Court that said you cannot administratively just change the meaning of a law. We have a separation of powers, and that's, you know, for the anyway.
Well, even before that, so the Title IX hijacking was scheduled to go into effect on August 1.
Right.
Prior to that, about 15 states, if I'm not incorrect, had because they have attorneys general who are not Marxists,
Josh Stein,
they had already sought and received court injunctions to stop Title IX in its new iteration from being imposed. So fast forward to Moore County, where we were suddenly very vulnerable to this new Title IX.
Yep. So then Nagy wrote, recently board member Pauline Bruno pushed the panic button by claiming that as a result of new anti-discrimination federal guidelines, the floodgates would now fling open for gender mixing and common single gender places like locker rooms and bathrooms. Well, yeah, that's what the Biden rules say. I mean, that's not Pauline making it up.
Right.
That's what they say. never mind that this has never been an issue in any of their schools.
Well, how does he know that?
Well, hold on a second there, Mr. Nagy. How do you know that that's not been an issue at Moore County Schools?
And how do you know that if opening the floodgates to allow that it wouldn't become the norm?
Well,
they're trying to normalize this stuff.
Well, it
doesn't have to happen on day one for it to be a threat.
Well, think about that. Never mind, this has never been an issue in any of our schools. Okay, setting aside for the fact that, it has been, but setting that aside for the fact. So how many rapes does Nagy think need to happen before it becomes an issue? How many female volleyball players or how many female athletes need to be in the hospital with concussions before Nagy concedes it's an issue?
Because they've been injured by a male who's... Who says he is a woman. Yeah, exactly. And remember that the other essence of this new Title IX is also to give leeway to these transies to file lawsuits whenever they feel they've been aggrieved.
Yeah, against a teacher. This is also to protect our faculty and staff because a transgender can file a lawsuit if they've been misgendered.
Under the terms of Title IX. So in other words, okay, we don't let them in the girls' locker room and the girls' bathrooms. We say no to that. Okay. But that doesn't stop the lawsuits, and then you're entangled in permanent legal mayhem.
Right.
And they
sue the teacher because the teacher didn't remember the newly made up, title. Okay,
exactly.
So proceeding. So then Bruno's answer was for local parents to sign up onto Moms for Liberty, which, by the way, everyone should, which sued successfully in Kansas to block these regulations. Now, here's the important part. Here's another lie. Under Bruno's rationalization, any mother who joins the group becomes protected by extension and thus shelters their child's schools. That's not Pauline Bruno's rationalization. That's what the court order says.
Exactly.
And that's what she said. And that's what evidence has been produced. See, this is what the pilot does. The pilot ignores all the facts that Pauline and I presented. And they
Correct.
Say, under Bruno's rationalization... It's not Bruno's rationalization. It's the court order, and we produced evidence, and they just completely gloss over that.
Moms for Liberty, which is a legitimate organization that rose up during the COVID-19 lockdowns and other Marxist outcomes of the pandemic, they are a legitimate organization, and they were enjoined with the other states' injunctions. So if a person... cites a Moms for Liberty injunction for her child in a given school, it there then applies to the entire school.
Yeah.
And that is a fact.
Right, right. But according to Nagy, it's Pauline's rationalization. There's three or four other lies. One editorial, four lies. Right? One editorial, four lies.
It's not an editorial. It's a landmine of deception.
Right, it is. It's 100% deception. Okay, so then he moves on to attack me.
No.
I know, it's hard to believe. Yeah, by the way, everyone here knows that John Nagy's wife, John Nagy, editor of The Pilot, his wife used to be the communications director at Moore County Schools.
That's right. When I was elected to
the school board. So,
then she went to work for drunken April Wood, but that's another story.
She was up there defending the drunk. And what was her position? Secretary of Auditor. Auditor. Anyway, so this is 100% Nagy grinding an axe against me because of his spouse. But anyway, so then he goes on to say, not one to be trampled in the paranoia department. Like, I'm paranoid, right?
Yeah.
I deal in facts, not paranoia.
Yeah.
But this is how he dismisses it. Board member David Hensley, that's me. Look, notice how he calls Pauline Bruno and how he calls me David Hensley. That sounds like misogynist and sexist, doesn't it?
Yes.
Board member David Hensley this past Monday proceeded to excoriate staff. I didn't excoriate the staff for working with a consultant he labels as raging progressive liberals bent on indoctrinating school districts in diversity, equity, inclusion. So let's unpack this, as they would say.
Yeah, academic. That needs to be unpacked because that was quite a little rant there.
A consultant he labels as raging progressive. First of all, I didn't say raging progressive liberals. I said leftists, right? I never say liberals, and I certainly didn't say raging. So here he is using inflammatory language to whip up people. He's doing what he accuses me of doing, right? But then he says, so let's take out the raging progressive liberals. So if we unpack this, a consultant he labels as indoctrinating school districts in diversity, equity, inclusion. So you know what there, John Nagy? I went to great pains. I don't just throw stuff out. I spent 20, you know, a good 5 or 10 minutes talking about this organization. So Nagy says that a consultant I label as bent on indoctrinating school districts and DEI. So let's move to their mission statement.
Yes.
The mission statement of Public Impact, who, by the way, Levy, Davis, and Ben Way voted, they're going to spend $650,000 of your tax dollars on this organization.
And what does Public Impact do? They bring in...
Well, they're a consultant group to help manage. That's beside the point.
Yeah.
Because, you know, anyway, so their own mission statement. Additionally, we strive, this is their mission statement from their website.
Right, right.
Additionally, we strive to keep issues of diversity, equity, and inclusion at the forefront of all of our work, both internally and externally.
Right, which is when they, the external would be when they seep into more county schools.
Right, right,
right.
So their own mission statement, all the all I did, see, this is what liberals can't do. Whether you go to the Facebook group, the all-new liberals of the Sand Hills, everyone knows about the libs of TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a local group called the all-new libs of the Sand Hills, where all that Facebook group does is they expose the posts and videos that these radical leftists do.
Right.
And the leftists don't like their own words and positions
Correct.
To be exposed because they can't defend them. Same thing here. All I did was I read Public Impact, who Levy and Davis are spending $650,000 of your money. They spent $300,000 so far, and they plan on spending $650,000. All I did was read stuff out of their own mission statement. Of course, Nagy goes high and to the right.
So I want to know, if I'm just a regular guy who's not in all the weeds on this stuff, I just want to know, okay, we have a 6-to-1 conservative school board. Why is that school board even looking at any outside consultant group? I wouldn't pay a consultant a dime. That's just not the way you run a conservative school board or a Moore County schools operation. Why do we need these people?
That was one of my points, right? So first of all, they've already spent $150,000 on this group. So what they should have done is they should have listened to what they said and then... You know, then we do it ourselves. But what a real organization would do, rather than spend $150,000 a year, they want to spend, well, the first year was $150,000. It's $166,000 a year for 5 years for these consultants. What a real organization. I mean, my God, we're in the education business. We're stacked, you know, neck deep in people with PhDs that are educators. We should have just sent a couple people to a seminar, learned how to do it, and then they come back and they teach the rest of their staff. Or, well, my God, they could have read a book on how to do it.
So this DEI operation, Public Impact, is going to teach our teachers how to teach?
They're going to teach our teachers how to. Look, we could do a whole show on it. Basically, they've invented the platoon. You got to watch the video. I'll link to it on the Hensley School Board. But the point is, the pilot lied their ass off on their characterization of this. I wasn't raging against progressive liberals. I wasn't paranoia. I was reading their own mission statement.
What if we spent a couple $100,000 on privatizing our school bus transportation network? Wouldn't that be a better use of the funds?
I can tell you this. There's a lot better ways to spend $650,000. But if you watch the school board meeting, I said, you know, I was making the point of, look, we need to, you know, this is money, and there's other ways we can spend it better. We didn't have to hire Public Impact with their laden with DEI. There's other companies that we could have hired. But Vice Chair Davis said, and this is a quote, but this isn't our money. This is a grant.
$650,000?
It's a grant from the state to pay for this. But the point is, that is Chair Levy and Vice Chair Davis's view. She said it out loud. You can watch the meeting. Vice Chair Davis said, this isn't our money. This is a grant. Well, I'm sorry, Vice Chair Davis. It is our responsibility to be good stewards of the taxpayer money, whether it comes from the Moore County taxpayer, whether it comes from the state or whether it comes from the federal government. It's all our money there, Vice Chair Davis.
Well, of course it is. And meanwhile, what progress has been made in improving the massive deficiencies in reading and math in our schools?
Well,
and,
oh, no, you have to ask Chair Levy. That's the last thing he wants to talk about. He wants to talk about bringing in consultants to teach DEI.
All right. Well, so it goes. Thank you, Dorothy.
You are welcome, gentlemen. Thank you so much for being in here. I hope everybody has a great Tuesday, and somebody will be behind this microphone tomorrow. Can't guarantee who it'll be, but have a great Tuesday.
Better be laughing.
So, what have we learned? Heck, I don't know. But this is one crazy show. Bye now.
Cut, cut. That's it. Go home, everybody. None of this ever happened.
Well, y'all come back now, you hear?
I think we're through here.
Yeah, man. Thank you very much, man. That's pretty much all I got, man.
Okay, class dismissed. Rock on!
Well, let me tell you something. Everything comes to an end. Right.